Hello, everybody. Welcome to Peck Report. I am your host, Josh Peck. Excited to talk to you today about miniature leviathans that have been created in the lab. Does this have a connection with Revelation 6? We're going to be talking about that today. If you haven't had a chance to do so, make sure you subscribe to this channel and please click the bell for notifications. Also, just know YouTube most likely won't notify you. That doesn't mean that you should not click the bell. Please click the bell. And if you've already clicked the bell, go back and make sure it's still clicked. It's really important you do so. Sometimes you got to do it a few times for it to stick with YouTube. But make sure you do that. It's important. And also keep checking back joshpeckdisclosure.com. That is your central hub for basically everything that I do. You're going to want to check that out. So a recent story came out on Live Science about mini monsters with multiple heads that have been created in the lab. This is breaking news. This just came out a couple days ago. And I'm telling you, the way that these things look kind of looks like what I would picture Leviathan to look like. Here, take a look. This is what I'm looking at right now. Look at this. I mean, if you imagine an ancient sea dragon of chaos, an ancient chaos monster, is not this something you would imagine? That's certainly something I would imagine. So again, this comes from Live Science, so we'll give credit where credit is due. But the tiny immortal hydra is a freshwater animal that can regenerate an entirely new animal just from the tiniest sliver of its body. And usually it does this perfectly. 1 foot, one long skinny body, and one tentacled head. But believe it or not, with a single genetic tweak, researchers can recreate monstrous hydras that sprout fully functional heads all over their bodies, appropriate for an animal named for an ancient Greek monster that had somewhere between 6 and 9 heads. Now, isn't that interesting? We are living in a time where this type of biology or biological technology is being discovered, yet it's talked about in Greek mythology. It's talked about on a macro scale in Greek mythology. Do you think that we are on the cusp of entering Greek mythological times again? Do you think that this type of miniature hydra or miniature leviathan is going to become something larger, become a bigger problem for humankind? Well, let's read the article and see what else it has to say. So it says, these many-headed hydras are not just a trick of mad science. For the first time, researchers have figured out what keeps hydra head regeneration in check. The findings could inform everything from human developmental studies to cancer research. Yet again, there it is. And we've talked about it many times on this channel. Every time they do something like this, they always say it's to cure cancer, it's to cure AIDS, it's to cure any number of things that human beings have to go through. Because then they put you in a position that if you, the Christian, opposes it, what, you're opposed to curing cancer? How dare you? Isn't that evil and wrong? And, you know, because a lot of times we Christians try to be polite and we try to be nice and we're like, okay, well, I see where you're coming from with that. No. No, that is a red herring. This is not developed to cure cancer. What drives this whole movement is to see what we as humans can get away with. You at home, if you have kids, do you not know that there are times in your children's lives where they try to see what they can get away with? They know better. You've taught them right. You've brought them up correctly. Yet they still try to push the boundary and see what they can get away with. It's human nature. Human nature. Humanity is doing that against God, even if most of them don't believe in God. They're still doing it because it's built inside of them. And I believe that God gave us children. He gave us time in itself to teach us that lesson, to teach us kind of our relationship with him. There has been so many things that I've learned about my relationship with God, or I should say God's relationship with me. I've learned that through my relationship with my children, and it's really humbling. So pay attention to those moments because it's important. Well, this continues on. These many-headed hydras are just a trick of mad science. For the first time, researchers have figured out what keeps Hydra head regeneration in check. So we went through that. Now, it says the hunt for an off switch. The hunt for an off switch. Isn't that telling in itself? I know it's just a few word headline, but a lot of times it's like Pandora's box. There's another mythological reference for you. Once you get this thing going, you can't stop it. There is no off switch. You have to hunt for it, and it's a never ending quest. But this says, though hydras are simple animals, regrowing body parts is no minor achievement. With each regeneration, the animal has to organize its body plan so that just one head ends up on top and just one foot or basal disc sprouts on the bottom. Researchers had some of the pieces of this puzzle. They knew the gene WNT3 is crucial for prompting the growth of the head. They also knew there must be some molecular check on WNT3. Without that inhibition, the Hydra would just grow heads all over. They also knew that a particular receptor and genetic activator called beta-catenin TCF were activated by WNT3 to start the head growth process. But they were missing the off switch. Here it comes. And we've read about this in many epics of mythology. Something they knew had to prevent the Hydra from growing head after head after head, said Bridget Galliott, a professor of genetics and evolution at the University of Geneva. So this continues on and it says, so Galliott and her colleagues were hunting. They started with a close relative of Hydras, planarians or flatworms, which also regenerate. And in the planarian genome, they found 440 genes that become less active when beta catenin TCF signals were blocked, giving them a starting point for the search for other genes involved in this cycle. Of those, 124 also existed in the Hydra genome. Now, here's something that's interesting to consider. There are some people out there that say a lot of Greek mythology can be understood if, and this is a big if, and really we don't have any evidence of this, or any archaeological or any physical evidence of this, but if they understood genomes, DNA splicing, genetic sciences, that type of thing, then you can explain a lot of Greek mythology. I think it's probably deeper than that. Personally, I think the stories actually have other things to teach from a more secular worldview, not a Christian worldview. But I understand that argument. And it would be interesting if that's true. If you believe that, do you believe that we should look at the Greek myths as literal? And if so, please put your reasons in the comment section below, because that's the whole point of this whole thing that we're doing, right? Iron sharpens iron. If you have something to teach, I would love to learn it, just as I have something to teach and I want to teach you. I want you to learn it. But it's a give and take. So I would love it if you would leave a comment in the comment section below if you feel so inclined to do so. Now, it also says, of course, they found only 5 genes that are most active at the top of the Hydra's tubular body and least active at its foot, meaning they had to be specific to head growth. We are going to get into Revelation 6 in just a minute here. But it says, among those 5, they looked for genes that became increasingly active during regeneration, that left 3, WNT3, WNT5, and a gene called SP5. So, here's a question. Is there any time in human history, or possibly even in biblical literature, where we could find this type of thing, you know, this type of beast? We can actually look at Revelation 6. And I'm going to turn it on screen share so you can see what I see. If you go to blueletterbible.com, this is a great resource. This is an excellent resource for all your Bible study, because you can look up the KJV. You can actually, if you click here, you can look up like any translation you want. There's a lot of them. But if you go to KJV, you can turn on the Strong's Concordance. So what's interesting here is when you go down to Revelation 6:4, we'll just read it real quick, and then I'm going to click on one word. But it says, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that he sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Continuing on in verse 5, "And there had opened the third seal. I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And there I beheld a black horse, and he sat on him, the pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of four beasts saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.' And when he had opened the fourth seal," so we have a little bit of context of what's going on here. Now here's where it's important for what we're studying today. "When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, 'Come and see.'" All right, here we go. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." What does this word beasts mean? What does that mean? Beasts of the earth. Let's click on that and see. Therion. That's the transliteration. That's what's cool about Blue Letter Bible. By the way, I don't get any kind of compensation for promoting Blue Letter Bible. I just really like it, and I think you at home could benefit from it as well. But Therion is the transliteration. So let's see what it has to say here. "An animal, a wild animal, wild beast, beast, metaphor, a brutal, bestial man, savage, and ferocious. A dangerous animal, venomous wild beast." And then here it says diminutive of that Greek word, hence a little beast, little animal. Now, what's really interesting is there is a book by Sharon Gilbert, Derek Gilbert's wife, Sharon Gilbert. Of course, she has an identity of her own. She's not just Derek's wife. But Sharon Gilbert wrote a book called Ebola, and it's all about the possibility that this little beast thing, little beast, little animal that it keeps talking about, is that possibly microorganisms? Now, she made the case in the book that it might have something to do with Ebola. And if you look at how Ebola spreads, you could fit that into Bible prophecy quite easily. And it still might be that. It very well could be that. But I would say, what if it is little beasts, little animals, microbial organisms? But what if it's something that's created in a lab, like a hydra that has now been created? What if that is let loose on the human population? What if these beasts, these little beasts, can't control, you know, because they haven't been designed to, because we're humans and we're flawed and we're not going to design things perfectly the way the Lord did? What if they don't have control over how many heads they're creating, or how many feet they're creating, or whatever it is, and they grow and grow and grow and become more infectious and more infectious? And what if that inhabits the whole world? What if that infects the whole world? There could be room for that in certain interpretations of Bible prophecy. Now, the thing that's tricky about Bible prophecy is you don't always know the interpretation. A lot of Bible prophecy, if you look at the history of it, most Bible prophecy is not understood until hindsight can be achieved. So, you know, in hindsight, all the prophecies about Jesus make perfect sense. But at the time, most people missed it. Most did. And listen, in that culture, they were all waiting for a Messiah. I mean, the whole idea of a Messiah was not lost on anybody. They were waiting for a Messiah. But when Jesus Christ came, and when he was the Messiah, many people missed it because they didn't really see how the prophecies were going to be fulfilled. It's all a faith thing. So we have to have more faith in our Lord than we have faith in our own interpretations. And that's why, you know, sometimes I get criticized on this channel, and, you know, people say that, you know, well, I don't take a hard stance. You know, I don't pick a lane when it comes to Bible prophecy. You know, I don't I won't just say that I'm pre-trib or pre-rat because I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in hindsight yet. How could I know? I think the wise choice is to admit our frailty as human beings, admit our faults, admit that we can't see beyond time, and admit that our interpretation of things might not be right because most people's interpretations of things have proved to be wrong. You look back in human history, most people who have interpreted Bible prophecy, most of them have been wrong. It's usually the case that the minority is actually right. So, and we don't know, and right now, I mean, the church is so fractured, we don't know which minority is right, because just to be a Christian means you're a minority of some group, because the church is so split up. So, anyway, I would like to know what you think about all of this. Do you think that this might be the resurgence of Leviathan? When you read descriptions of Leviathan in the Bible, especially in context of Psalm 74, Genesis 1:1-3, and in terms of what they believed at that time, it sort of sounds like a miniature Leviathan to me. I'm not going to lie, but maybe I'm way off base. Maybe I am. So I would like to know what you think. Please leave me a comment in the comment section below. And if you haven't had a chance to do so already, please subscribe. Click on the bell for notifications. Check back here every day and keep checking joshpeckdisclosure.com. My website is updated daily. Also, there's a link there where you can sign up for a newsletter. And if you haven't heard already, I'm going to be speaking at a conference in March, and I would love to invite you. Use the promo code Josh20. Click on the link in the description below if you're viewing this on YouTube. That's the easiest way to do it to get your tickets. Use the promo code Josh20. You get $20 off your ticket. Great deal. And you can come, you can meet me. Stephen Bancars is going to be there. And there's also lots of other great speakers. L.A. Marzulli is going to be there. Gary Wayne, I don't know for sure, but I think this is his first actual publicized speaking engagement. So this is going to be really interesting to see. But Gary Wayne is going to be there. You're going to want to see that. He's the author of the Genesis 6 conspiracy. We've interviewed him on this channel before. Paul Begley, Pastor Paul Begley is going to be there. Lots of other people. It's going to be a blast. I would love to see you there. Please come and see me. I would love that. Use the promo code Josh20 to get some money off your tickets. You get $20 off your tickets. All right, but hey, if you're going to do that, make sure you do it today because that is going to sell out fast. All right, again, subscribe, click the bell, go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, and again, leave a comment. I want to know what you think about this story. And this has been so much fun. Thank you, guys. Until next time, this has been Peck Report. I am your host, Josh Peck. Take care and God bless.